You're getting the most out of being at a game with American Express. The card member entrance, the lounge, and now tip off. See how to elevate your live sports experience at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Don't live life without it. Eligible American Express card required. Benefits vary by card and by venue. Terms apply. When you're an American Express Platinum card member, don't be surprised if you say things like,
"Chef, what course are we on? I've lost count."
Or,
Shoot that!
And even,
"Checkout's not until 4, so..."
Because the American Express Platinum card offers access to exclusive reservations at renowned restaurants, elevated experiences at live events, and 4 p.m. late checkout at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. See how to elevate your experiences at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Don't live life without it. Terms apply.
Edition of March Madness 365. I'm your host, Andy Katz. On this edition of our podcast, I will be joined by Buffalo's Nate Oates, the Bulls, one of the better teams in the country. Not one of the surprises. They beat Arizona, gave Kentucky a game in the NCAA tournament last year. They entered the season as one of the better teams in the country. Experience already won at West Virginia. Got some monster games coming up we're going to talk to Nate Oates about. So the head coach of the Bulls will be joining me. Also, Big East preseason player of the year, Shamari Ponds, just named the Big East player of the week, put up 37 in the St. John's victory over Georgia Tech in Miami. Already scored over 30 in the Legends Classic victories over Cal and VCU in overtime. So the lead guard for the Red Storm will also join me. So some headlines from the past week. In the ACC Big Ten Challenge, it went 7-7. Louisville, monster victory over Michigan State in overtime. That was my most important victory of the week. They followed that up, by the way, with a road win at Seton Hall. In the rest of the challenge, notable games that occurred, Michigan dispatching North Carolina rather easily, Duke crushing Indiana, Syracuse winning at Ohio State. That was significant because the Orange lost a couple games in New York at the 2K Classic, so they needed a significant win. The fact that Penn State beat Virginia Tech, Iowa held off Pitt, those were great wins for the Big Ten. Rutgers upsetting Miami, although Miami then followed that up with a home loss to Yale. The fact that Virginia held off a strong Maryland team, I think, was great news for both because it was a great road win for Virginia. True road. Maryland scores 71 points in that home loss, and that's one reason why I've got Maryland in my power 36. I think they are going to be a team to be reckoned with in the Big Ten. I think they're an NCAA tournament team. Just chill and watch what occurs with that. We also had on Saturday, Gonzaga gets down to Creighton, comes back and wins. That's the first of four monster games for Gonzaga in a row at Creighton, home Washington, Tennessee in Phoenix over the weekend. And then next weekend, they're going to play at North Carolina. If they get through all four of these, now they're one down, three to go, they're going undefeated. Nevada on Friday night plays Arizona State at Staples Arena. If Nevada gets by Arizona State, I could see Nevada running the table. And then Gonzaga would get the one out west. Nevada would get a one somewhere else. Michigan followed up their victory over North Carolina by crushing Purdue in the opening weekend. Purdue coming off a road loss to Florida State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, which was probably the best game of the challenge, by the way. Too many turnovers by the Purdue guards late in that game. That hurt them. Michigan right now, by the way, looking like a national championship team. Didn't know that I would say that, but they are looking like a national championship team. The best teams in the country right now are Gonzaga, Michigan, Virginia, Kansas, which struggled with Stanford in overtime, still beat them, Duke, Nevada. Those are the six best teams in the country right now. And it may end up being that way in a couple of months' time. Other notable things for my Power 36, Temple got in there. Radford, after winning at Texas. I moved up Houston after they beat Oregon. Arizona State, still undefeated. I moved them up. Moved North Carolina down because they had a rough week after losing to Michigan on the road. They just didn't look well. They didn't look well in that game. And I know it was coming off their Vegas trip and all that, but they did not play well in that game. So a little troubling for the Tar Heels after that. I would also say that Texas Tech, undervalued. I raised them way up. Move Wisconsin way up. Buffalo up. You know, the American, I mentioned Houston, UCF, Temple, Cincinnati. They're going to sort of all rotate, I think. But Houston, I think, is the class of the league right now. In the SEC, holding strong, Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, Arkansas. In the Pac-12, I only had Arizona State this week. In the Big 12, Iowa State still dealing with a lot of injuries. They're still winning. Kansas State got crushed by Marquette. Texas Tech, maybe the best, second best team next to Kansas. In the Big East, you know, Villanova is still going to be the team to beat. Marquette moves up because of that win over Kansas State. Waiting to see if there's consistency out of Butler and Providence and maybe Creighton. St. John's has great talent. They haven't played a lot of people yet. You'll hear from Pons. Georgetown a little erratic. In the Big Ten, I think you're going to see 10 teams in the Big Ten vying for NCAA tournament berths. 10. Maybe they get 8, 9, but 10 will vie for NCAA tournament berths. Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin right now, I think, are the class of the league, with Nebraska right behind that. So great news for the Big Ten right now. Big Ten may be the best league in the country this season. So a lot to get to. Want you to hear my conversation with Buffalo's Nate Oates. He's coming up next. And then Shamari Pons from St. John's. And now joining me here on March Madness 365, Nate Oates, the head coach of the Buffalo Bulls. And Nate, you just got back from Belfast, of all places. Quality victory over San Francisco to win the championship. Let's first talk about that trip. This has been a tournament, I think this is a second or third year. What was it like?
Yeah, it was the second year. I mean, they actually do a great job over there. They got a big arena that's a hockey arena. And they, so there was two different four-team brackets. So the one four-team bracket played Thursday, Friday. We played Friday, Saturday. They had a bunch of elementary-like kids that they kind of gotten in. We went and visited elementary school earlier in the week, and the place was packed on Friday, and then you wondered if they'd all disappear when there wasn't school on Saturday, but it was packed again. I think there was about 5,000 people at the game, so it was really well attended. They do a good job with it. So, I mean, it was good. The trip was good. It was educational. We had our guys go through like a week, once a week. We kind of took a class about Northern Ireland, Ireland history. So they kind of had a lot of history of the place going into it, and we had a good time. It's a little tiring, though, with the time change, getting back and everything. That'd be the only downfall to it.
You know, this is a great example of how difficult it is to schedule. You know, you guys start out with a bang with the win at West Virginia. Then you follow that up with a win at Southern Illinois. And, you know, I saw Barry Hinson in Las Vegas, and I don't think people fully grasp how difficult that was. They're a decent team, and they're a little up and down right now, but they'll be fine. But tell me and our listeners here, you know, what that week was like, because not a lot of people would do that, where you got to go to Morgantown, then you got to go to Carbondale, where a lot of people don't go, and stay on the road and come away with those kind of road wins.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the West Virginia win was huge, and everybody, I think, gets how big that was going down to Morgantown. But yeah, that whole trip was, we played at Morgantown Friday night, and we don't have the budget to where we can charter every single flight. We charter a lot during that conference. But so we had to take a commercial from Pittsburgh to St. Louis. So the game gets over about midnight. You know, it's a TV game that started at 9 at West Virginia. It goes to overtime. So we have to drive to Pittsburgh after the game. So we don't get to the hotel till like 2 in the morning. And then we got to be back in the bus by 5. So there wasn't a whole lot of sleep on Saturday. So then we got to, we got to St. Louis, and we have to drive 2 hours to Carbondale. We get there Saturday night, and we took Saturday off. We practiced Sunday and play Monday at Carbondale, and I think it showed. I told our guys, too, you know, if you win the West Virginia game and kick away the Southern Illinois game, it's not going to mean much. You know, everybody probably would have expected us to go 1-1 on this trip. So we got to come together and figure out how to forget the tiredness and everything and figure out how to get a win. And we were up 17 in that game late in the game. So I thought our guys did a really good job. We got a mature group of kids too, which helps, but Southern Illinois was a little banged up. Their best player wasn't playing that game. So we're going to get them back at our place and they'll have Fletcher. It'll be a tougher game, but you know, we'll be ready for it. It's what we wanted. We wanted to play good teams to get us ready for March.
Well, and that's a great example also of scheduling. I mean, why do you have to play them home and home in the same season?
Yeah. You would understand a lot of other people won. I mean, typically you don't play a non-conference opponent.
I mean, I know the answer, but I want to hear you tell me.
Yeah, I mean, nobody will play us.
Yeah, I know. I wanted you to say it.
That's it. So, like, we couldn't, neither one of us could get anybody to play us. So, and both of us wanted to start the series at home. So, you know, if we're going to play you and you want to start at your place and we want to start at our place, then let's just play twice during the year.
Now, the rest of this non-conference schedule, you've got, after you get through Lemoyne, you've got at St. Bonaventure, and I know they're struggling. It's still not easy to go to the Riley Center, and that's a rivalry game, obviously, in your region. The return game of Southern Illinois, and then at Syracuse, at Marquette, and then you're at Canisius, another rivalry game, local game. And then you start at Eastern Michigan, and I know they've been struggling, but at the same time, that's going to be a hyped game to start off the MAC. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of your next 7 games are on the road, including 2 high major games at Syracuse, at Marquette. You guys are a top 20 team. I have put you now in the top 15 in my Power 36. I've been, you know, riding the Bulls from the beginning here. How much do you feel, though, that every game is like a game 7? Because the margin for error, you know, in the MAC, unfortunately, has been razor thin. There has not been multiple bids since 99.
Yeah, it's been 20 years. So, I mean, we talk to our guys about it a lot because it would be nice to go into that MAC tournament without the pressure of having to win it to go to the NCAA tournament. You know, we're still going to try to win it, but to get an at-large bid, I mean, we talk to our guys a lot about what they have to do. Like, we can't give games away that we're supposed to win. So 5 of those next 7 are on the road, and we probably realistically we got to win 5 or maybe even 6 of those 7 just to have a chance to be an at-large bid. Shoot, we might have to win all 7. I don't know, but I think if we won 6 of them, and you know, you won either at Marquette or at Syracuse, I think you'd said no. Obviously, you can't screw it up in conference play, and we've got some really good teams in the conference. So, you know, if we went 15-3 like we did last year and won 6 of those next 7, I would hope we'd be able to get in. But I'm not on the committee, and I don't know. We're going to keep trying to get better and keep trying to win games and see if we can't put ourselves in a position to get in that large bid.
Well, that's what I love. I love the fact that you're going out, you're playing people, you know you got a good team. Last year was not a fluke when you upset Arizona and you gave Kentucky a good game before you lost in that round of 32. You know, outside of C.J. Massenburg, because he's sort of the bigger name, you know, with Nick Perkins, Jeremy Harris, Javon Graves, I mean, you could go down the list. You've got great balance, you know, in that group, if I'm counting here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players, 10 actually, have played in 6 of your 7 games. How much will that rotation shrink a little, or is that what we're going to see going forward from Buffalo?
Well, those 10 guys, 2 of them are freshmen that are pretty highly touted, and hopefully they continue to get better. I mean, their deal's not on offense. They're really talented on offense. Their deal with why they haven't gotten as many minutes maybe as they hope is on defense. So if they can figure out the defensive side of it, I think that rotation will stay pretty much like it is. You know, if they can, we've got a solid 7 that played, all of them played heavy minutes for us last year. They'll keep playing minutes. And then, you know, those 3 new guys, and then Brock Bertram's, you know, there. He didn't play the 1 game, but I maybe should have got him in. So we got 11 guys that can contribute. And I think we'll keep playing 10 or 11 as long as they deserve it. You know, if they don't deserve it, then we'll shrink it up a little bit. But typically by conference, you got it shrunk to about 8 or 9. So that's typically what I do. My guess is it'll go to 8 or 9 by the beginning of January.
What's been the buzz at Buffalo with now not just being in the poll, but a regular in the poll and climbing.
A few more people recognize your own town. I mean, it's a great city. It's a great sports city. They get behind you. Shoot, they've been pulling for the Bills, and they made their first playoff appearance in like 19 seasons, I think, last year. And the Sabres were bad since I've been here. Now I think they got the best record in the NHL. But people supported them all the way through. So I think, you know, they love to jump on board with a winner, and they support teams, especially the professional ones, even when they're losing. So a big-time sports city. It's been great around here. The campus is big. We got 30,000-plus students here, so it's nice to have everybody recognize you for what you got. Hopefully they come out to these home games we got here and make the trips to Bonaventure and Canisius and kind of keep this thing rolling here.
So when Bobby came there, because I'm trying to remember how many years you've been at Buffalo now.
This is year six for me. I was two as an assistant,
right.
Four as a head coach now.
So 6 years ago, what did you think was plausible?
I didn't anticipate being in the top 25 per se. I mean, I thought we could get them to the tournament for the first time. When I interviewed with Bobby, that was kind of the goal. You know, they've never been to the NCAA tournament. They're a high major university. You know, we're the biggest public university in the state of New York. We're the flagship school for the SUNY system. So the universities itself is a high major school. They're trying to get the sports caught up to it. Danny Way was the AD, and I thought we could, you know, get to the NCAA tournament and then kind of, you know, see what happened from there. But I don't think anybody thought we'd be in the top 20. I don't know what is this going on week four now in the top 25. So we've kind of got it, you know, Bobby got it started building it, and then I've been able to build on what we started here 6 years ago, and we kept this thing building. Hopefully we can keep it growing from here.
And what's been the mood of the group in terms of embracing that, you know, there's no messing around here. Like, now there's an expectation to not just win in the non-conference, win the MAC, but be back in the NCAA tournament and show that wasn't a fluke, that you got a team that could get to that second weekend.
Yeah, we've got a really mature group. We've got five seniors. Two of them, you know, have been with us since their freshman year, C.J. Massenburg and Nick Perkins. And that was my first year as head coach. So this is the first year, you know, we've had that I've got freshmen in my first year as head coach are now seniors. You know, I think they've grown a lot. We went to back-to-back NCAA tournaments with Bobby's last year here and my first year. And then I think that year after that, we got a little complacent. We had some seniors that thought it was just going to happen, and it doesn't really work that way. I think that was those guys' sophomore year. They learned a lot from that. Our culture was much better last year, and the culture's been really good this year. We kind of brought on a mental skills coach, a guy named Arnie here in town that comes in and meets with us twice a week. And he, you know, he's been great. The kids in the program have been great. So the culture, you know, and there is an expectation level that we're expected to win now. Games where before people would be happy we'd win, they'd be ecstatic. Now they're expecting us to win them. And I'd much rather have it that way than the way it was before. And we're just, you know, basketball's not life or death. So there's no reason to get all uptight about it. But there's, you know, you still got to come out and play hard every game. Our deal's been one of our three core beliefs is max effort. That's every day in practice, every day in the games. If you come out and play hard and you're focused, I think the pressure takes care of itself.
Well, Nate, I appreciate it. I'm glad you got back safe and sound. Sounds like a great trip. And, you know, it's just going to be really interesting to track this group over the next couple of weeks. But the main thing is you're not going to disappear once you get into the MAC, because those games are incredibly difficult. I've seen it. I know it. The rest of the country needs to appreciate how hard it is to win on the road in the MAC, because I don't think they do. It's extremely difficult.
It's very hard. I mean, there's some really good teams. You know, Ball State's playing great, and Eastern Michigan's got a ton of talent. Toledo's good. So, hey, listen, before you cut me off, though, our last two home games, we've had the same. I mean, he's great. Don't get me wrong. Like, the guy that sings the Star Spangled Banner is really good. But, like, we had the same guy back-to-back games, so we might need somebody to come in, like a little – we might need a little flavor. I saw the singer for the UConn-Arizona game. Is that your daughter, Andy?
That is my daughter.
How old is she?
She is 16. She's a junior in high school. I sense maybe you need her for the Bowling Green game to end the season on March 8th.
That would be good. Maybe we can get that done. You don't live too far away. We could probably get that done.
Oh, yeah.
She could take a day off school and come out and make a guest appearance.
Yes. No, this is her love, her passion. And, I don't get nervous when I'm in front of a camera, or even doing a live shot in front of thousands of fans or whatever. I was petrified for her and my heart was pounding. And yet,
was that her first one?
She did it like 3 years ago, not as big a crowd, actually at a UConn game at Gamble, but she was younger. But her voice is now taken on to another level. And, you know, that's what she wants to do. She wants to go to musical theater. Obviously we're looking at schools everywhere, but,
awesome.
And she just shows no fear standing out there, because I'll tell you the thing you see when you, and I appreciate that when I've gone to, you know, as you have been to thousands of basketball games, and you don't realize until it's someone you know like this, just how alone it is, because everyone is looking at you. You know, I mean, you're on the court and everyone's paying attention. You've got everyone's attention.
That's true. In a game, even, you got 10 guys out there doing that deal. Who was that? Mo Cheeks that had to help the one girl out?
It's not an easy song either.
No, it's not. It's one of the harder ones for Nash. Yeah. Well, how do you pronounce it? Is it Lucia? Is that
Lucia.
How you pronounce it?
Lucia.
Lucia.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got a 14-year-old that's a freshman. She's not a singer. She's into some other stuff. But shoot, that would be I'd be so nervous for her. She had to do something like that. That'd be bad. That was awesome. I didn't see the game. We were on our flight coming back. So I'm sure Danny's got that place rocking back.
He does. He does. All right. So now I got to look at your schedule, see if we can get her up to Buffalo.
Yeah, let's go. Get it done. Text me. We'll figure it out.
All right.
So, all right. Thanks.
Thanks, Andy. Nate. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Up next here on March Madness 365, St. John's's Shamari Pons. And now joining me here on March Madness 365, Shamari Pons from St. John's, the Big East Player of the Week, and also the preseason Big East Player of the Year. Just dropped 37 against Georgia Tech down in Miami. He is 30 seems to be your magic number. You did that already a number of times when you were at the Legends Classic with wins over Cal and VCU in overtime. But you guys have played with fire a little bit with this schedule right now. A lot of close games, which on the positive side is great that you're able to close out and win those games, maybe something different than a year ago. On the other side, you are playing close to that edge. How are you reading the way you guys are playing in some of these games so far?
Oh, I feel like as a team-wise, I feel like we playing solid, but I feel like it's another level that we can step it up to. Because I feel like we don't play a full 40-minute game. Like, we have spurts of, like, we play 25 minutes, and then I have to catch up, do a lot of catching up. I mean, we're like, when we come to conference play, like, there's a lot of good teams, so that may not be the case to come out with the win. So, I mean, I feel like as long as we keep stringing 40 minutes together, like we did at Rutgers, we should be fine.
Yeah, that seems to be, you know, the best game that you guys have played against a like opponent, not some of the sort of the guaranteed games that you guys had at home at Carneseca. What was it about that Rutgers game that you just were mentioning that showed you guys can play, you know, at a high level for all 40 and win, whether it's home or road?
Oh, I mean, I think like coming up to the game, we was mentally prepared. I feel like our mindsets going on our first road trip as a group with that team. I mean, I feel like we was focused. We was disciplined. I mean, and like on that night, Mustafa had a night, LJ had a night, and they was the hot hands, so we fed off them.
Now, Marcus Howard at Marquette had 45. You had 37 over the same weekend. This is going to be an interesting race for Big East Player of the Year. Both teams, I think, are going to be in the NCAA tournament. You know, we're going to be in contention to win the Big East. How much does it drive you to have another player like yourself, who's a big-time scorer on a team that you know you're going to have to get through if you're going to win the Big East?
I mean, it's definitely big. I mean, it definitely tests me, see where I'm at. I mean, to play against the best. And the Big East definitely have a lot of great players in there. So, I mean, you can't approach it lightly.
And what do you think of him as a scorer?
I mean, I think he's one of the best scorers in the country. He had 45 this year already. He had 52 last year. So, I mean, he's one of the best scorers in the country.
Now, you mentioned, you know, in that Rutgers game, you weren't necessarily the hot hand. You've been the hot hand a number of times. How do you read that situation where, you know, there are times when you've got to be the guy that's going to take the shots versus other times when you have to be that distributor?
I mean, it's definitely a balance. But I try to get the guys going. will like give them confidence, because I want at least 6 or 7 players like averaging double figures, or like five, or like I start on five averaging like double figures. So I just try to get them guys confidence. When I'm driving, I could possibly kick you the ball, things of that nature.
And how much have you embraced Shamari being the guy, the one that the opposing coach and opposing team are going to key on every night?
I mean, I like it. There's no pressure. I mean, it's something I face like mostly all my life, double team, triple team. So, I mean, I like it. I prepare for it. So it's like it's nothing new.
And Chris Mullin, the head coach, you know, he's been around a long time, played at the highest level, won everything you can win. How has he approached this season a little bit different, knowing that he's got a group that can compete for a league championship and an NCAA tournament berth?
I mean, I think as far as this group, I mean, he's know we are like very talented, but he want to see us do all the little things, like all the little things matter to him, like so he know that on paper, like we are like one of the most talented teams in the Big East. So he just want us like to focus on the little things, because the scoring is gonna come. So he just, like, preach defense, make our defense be our best offense.
And lastly, Shamari, I know it's a long way away from now, but just knowing that Duke is on your schedule, you beat them last season, it's a different Duke team, and you know all the hype around these freshmen, just knowing that it's on your schedule, how much do you relish the fact that at some point this season, you will get that chance to go up against them down in Durham?
Oh, man, that game is going to be crazy. I can't wait for it. I'm pretty sure that they can't wait for it, because I know that Coach K told that team that we beat them last time we matched up. So that game is going to be crazy, and I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a goodie, and just can't wait for it.
A lot before that, I know. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Well, I appreciate Shamari. Congrats on another great week, and I know we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that's a wrap on March Madness 365. As always, you can find our podcast wherever you find the March Madness social media handles and on NCAA.com. Thanks for listening.